Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a timeless roller-style riser blueprint for old-school jungle and drum and bass momentum inside Ableton Live 12. And right away, I want you to think about this the right way. This is not just to make something go up before the drop exercise. We're designing a tension system. The riser needs to feel like it belongs in the arrangement, like it's part of the groove language, part of the drum conversation, part of the pressure that pulls the listener straight into the drop. That's the big idea here. In jungle and DNB, the transition is often where the tune gets its identity. If the build feels generic, the whole section can lose character. But if the build feels edited, rhythmic, and a little bit unruly, then suddenly the drop feels inevitable. That's the energy we want, so we're going to approach this with an edits mindset. We'll chop audio, reverse fragments, resample, filter, automate, distort lightly, and use space in a deliberate way. The result should feel handcrafted, DJ-friendly, and properly aligned with classic DNB phrasing. First, let's set up the transition in 8-bar or 4-bar phrasing. In most DNB arrangements, the riser lives in the last 4 or 8 bars before the drop. 8 bars gives you room to develop tension slowly and include more drum edits. 4 bars is leaner and more urgent. For a roller, either can work, but if you want that timeless, slightly old-school pull, 8 bars gives you more space to tell the story. Drop a locator at the start of your build, and another at the downbeat of the drop. Then sketch the energy curve in your head. In the first couple of bars, keep movement minimal. Establish expectation. In bars 3 and 4, start opening the sound. In bars 5 and 6, bring in break edit activity and some bass tension. In bars 7 and 8, peak the build, then strip it down so the drop can land with force. This works especially well after a drum break cut or a bass dropout. That missing groove creates a vacuum, and the riser fills that vacuum with pressure. The ear wants the missing rhythm back. That's classic DNB psychology. Next, build the main tonal source using Waveatable or analog. Create a MIDI track and load up Waveatable or analog. We want a source that can be pushed into a dark, moving build rather than a bright synth lead. Think tension, not melody. A good starting point is a saw or square blend on oscillator 1, then a detuned saw on oscillator 2 at a lower level. Keep the voices controlled, maybe 2 to 4 voices max. You don't want a huge super wide cloud too early. Keep the detune subtle, around 5 to 12%. Then use a low-pass filter with some resonance, but not too much. Enough to add a little whistling pressure, not so much that it screams at you. Set the amp envelope with a short attack, medium sustain, and a slightly longer release. Then automate the filter cutoff from dark to brighter over the course of the riser. The important thing here is restraint. For a roller, don't reveal the full brightness too soon. Let the top end arrive late. That gives you more emotional lift in the final bar. If you want a more old-school character, use slight pitch drift or very subtle detune movement instead of massive unison spread. That slight instability feels more like the physical tension of a classic jungle transition. Now we add the first reedal edits element, a reversed break edit. This is where the riser stops beating just a synth build and starts speaking the language of the drums. Drag in an amen, a break, or even just a hat and snare fragment, and turn it into a reversed phrase that leans into the drop. You are not building a whole breakbeat here. You're adding a tension layer that references the rhythm of the tune. A good workflow is to take a 1-bar or 2-bar break phrase, slice it to a new MIDI track using Slice to New MIDI Track, and slice by transient so you can control the edits precisely. Rearrange a few hits so the last part of the build contains snare ghosts, hat pickups, or kick fragments. Then reverse selected clips or audio regions to create that suction effect into the drop. Keep it sparse. This is important. A common mistake is to cram too much drum activity into the build. Instead, think of the edit like a clue. Early on, maybe it's just one reversed snare tail. Later, add a chopped hat pattern. In the final bar, maybe you use a short reverse break swell or crash. That way, the build feels like it's assembling itself. And that's a great old-school idea. The transition feels like the track is reassembling before the drop. Now we're going to shape the movement with auto filter, saturator, and frequency shifter. Route the tonal source and the break edit through a group or an audio effect rack so you can treat them as one system. Start with auto filter. Use it to sweep from low pass toward band pass or a brighter low pass shape. Add saturator to give the build some harmonic pressure. If you want a little metallic anxiety, add frequency shifter very subtly. Not enough to sound like a special effect, just enough to make the air feel unstable. A useful starting point is a filter cutoff somewhere around 180 to 400 Hz at the start, then up to around 6 to 10 kHz by the end, depending on how bright you want the riser to get. Keep the resonance moderate. For saturator, just a few dB of drive can be enough. If the signal gets peaky, turn on soft clip. And with frequency shifter, keep the movement tiny. You want motion, not chaos. This is a big DNB principle. Tension should feel musical, not random. The build should feel like it's being pushed forward by the system, not just blasted with noise. Now let's add a low-end tension bed. This is one of those advanced touches that can make a build feel much more dangerous. Create a separate MIDI track with operator or simpler, and design a low rumble or subswell that rises with the build. Use a sine-like source. Keep it closed down at the start, and let it rise subtly in pitch or filter over time. The key here is control. Keep this layer mono. Keep it quieter than the main bass reference. It should imply the drop, not compete with it. In darker jungle and rollers, a low rumble can make the drop feel huge because the listener feels pressure change, not just volume change. If you want a more neural-leaning vibe, you can lightly modulate the filter or wave-eatable position with an LFO, but keep it restrained. We want menace, not wobble for its own sake. At this point, we should resample the build. This is where the edits workflow really comes alive. Bounce the whole riser bus to audio. You can record the group in real time or freeze and flatten if you want to move quickly. Once it's audio, you can chop it like an instrument. This step is huge because now you can cut the transition directly. Slice it into half bar, quarter bar, or even 8-note fragments. Reverse tiny pieces. Trim the tails so the final transient clears the downbeat. Add tiny fades so you don't get clicks. A strong move here is to create call and response inside the build. Maybe the first half is a tonal swell, the second half is break chop responses, and the last beat is a stripped down reverse tail. That kind of evolution keeps the energy alive. DNB is all about motion through variation. If the build just sits there climbing, it can feel flat, but if it evolves, it feels alive. Now let's shape the automation properly. This is where you stop the riser from sounding generic. Don't automate everything in a straight line. That's one of the fastest ways to make the build feel obvious and boring. Instead, shape the curve like an arc. Automate cutoff so it moves slowly at first, then faster in the final two bars. Bring reverb up early, then pull it back right before the drop. Increase distortion slightly in the middle of the build. Then ease it off so the drop stays clear. Widen the stereo image early, then narrow it in the final bar so the drop feels bigger by comparison. If you're using utility, automate the width down gradually. You could start around 120%, then reduce it to 80%, and by the last half bar pull it in close, maybe even close to mono if you want a hard snap into the drop. That contrast is powerful. The more focused the build becomes, the more open the drop feels when it lands. And speaking of space, let's use reverb and delay carefully. For jungle and rollers, ambience can make the transition feel cinematic, but it has to stay disciplined. Use hybrid reverb, or echo, but keep the tail under control. A decay around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds is usually enough. A short pre-delay can help the sound stay defined. High cut the reverb so it stays dark, and low cut it so it doesn't cloud the bottom end. Send the reversed break fragments or tonal source to a shared return so everything feels connected. Then automate the send amount so the build blooms early and tightens before the drop. That gives you atmosphere without washing out the impact. And if you want this to feel more authentic, don't polish it too much. A slightly grainy, imperfect ambience often sits better in jungle than something ultra smooth and glossy. Now for the most important part, the drop-ready edit gap. This is where the build becomes truly effective. The riser is only half the story. The space before the drop is what makes the drop feel massive. In the last quarter beat to one beat before the drop, cut the low end, dry out the reverb, remove any busy mid-range chop, and leave only a tiny reverse inhale, crash, or noise tick if needed. Sometimes a brief silence gap before the downbeat is the strongest move of all. That negative space is what makes the impact feel enormous. In darker rollers, a clean gap can make the return of the drums feel almost physical. The beat comes back with authority because the arrangement gave it room to hit. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the riser too bright too early. Delay the full brightness until the final bar. Don't spread it too wide too soon. Narrowing into the drop makes the drop feel larger. Don't make it just noise. Add tonal tension or sub-pressure so it feels musical. Don't ignore the drums. If the build has no relationship to the breakbeat language, it won't feel like DNB. And don't automate everything linearly. The last quarter of the build should do more work than the first half. Here are a few pro tips if you want this to hit harder. Use saturator or overdrive moderately on the riser bus, and if needed, tame the peaks with glue compressor. Put utility on the bus and automate the width tighter in the last bar. Try a frequency shifter only on the reversed brake layer for a bit of metallic unease. If you want deeper jungle character, layer a resampled amen tail under the tonal riser and filter it hard. That adds history and movement. You can also extract groove from the brake edits if you want the riser to feel less rigid. A little swing can make the whole thing breathe in a roller context, and always check the build in mono. If the riser disappears when collapsed, it's probably too dependent on width, and not enough on actual harmonic or rhythmic substance. If you want to push this further, there are some advanced variations worth trying.